Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
hope you and yours have a most blessed holiday. As we come up on Christmas weekend, Monday. Welcome to the GLC Grandma Cove. Hope that was great. As we end the 2023 season, okay, Burnman Network, Pastor Pat, Associated Roll, and we go on the 2024. It's been a long ride, 20 years of broadcasting, 20 years of injury, 20 years of education. That's what we're here for. Hope you enjoy the show as we round up 2024.
BlackAthlete.com.
Now we got the spirit that can never give in, with a heart that pumps stronger than 10 average men. It's something within, I was born to win. You can't hold me down, I'm a black champion. We had to fight for equal rights, on and off the court, and at the turn of the century, dominated sports for the love of the game. Endured the pain and fought through segregation, had to make a change. Jackie Robinson, first black man to get a deal in the major league, knocking home runs out the field. Led the whole lead in RBIs and steals in his first year, MVP Rookie of the Year. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Minnie Minosa paved the way for Reggie Jackson, Ken Griffey, and Sammy Sosa. Half of all MVPs in the history of baseball's been black athletes. That's why we excel in all our feats, cause we so deep, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So all I wanna do is thank my God, we worked so hard, came so far, black athletes, superstar.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, cause there's so many black athletes that ever blessed the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous, scored 100 points in a game, and no one to do the same as Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins, who's the best to play the sport, Dr. J or Michael Jordan. Played above the rim when they scored, hung in the air when they scored, made moves like never before. So all my black athletes, entrepreneurs, you open up the doors, you deserve a round of applause. The pigskin, the gridiron, where bodies be colliding, and the men must be made of iron. Where would football be without the great Jim Brown? Austin Payton breaking tackles and running for touchdowns. So if you ever had to stop him, it'd be crushing, because he still holds the records for the most yards rushing. Smooth with quick moves like dancers, Emmitt Smith, Tyrell Davis, and the great Barry Sanders. All I want to do is thank my God, who worked so hard, came so far, black athlete, superstar.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the purse was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did, shocked the world like this did. The great white hope came tumbling down, beaten and bruised and knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, at least was in his mind. He gained the heavyweight championship a record 3 times and successfully defended it 19 times. The third youngest, the third oldest heavyweight champion. His career spanned the 7 presidents.
The eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete.
Charlie Stafford, the first black man to win the PGA, made it possible for Tiger Woods to play today. Althea Gibson, first black woman to win the Wimbledon. Arthur Ashe, Williams sisters, we loved them through all of their trials and tribulations. Bad times we faced it and overcame the situation. Jesse Owens won 4 gold medals in the 36 Olympics, breaking records in 3 different events. And all the black women began to dominate. In track and field, they was great in 1948. And a team full of black women won 6 medals and represented in the 52 Olympics. Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coachman, black women athletes slash postmen, Flo Jones and Jackie Joyner was terrific in track and field. The best black women that ever did it.
Life is the eyes of a black
BlackAthlete.com. If it wasn't for the hypocrisies of the Caucasian media and the attacks that they continue on black athletes, see, this is okay. It's okay for you to make money on black athletes, but when they become political, you don't want to hear us. You don't want to see us. You know what, be us. This is like Colin Kaepernick. You know what, I see Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick opened the door for many more athletes open and changed the paradigm of sports. But Colin Kaepernick paid the price. Okay, Friday night lights, NCAA, Coastal Carolina, but San Jose State, in the Hawaii Bowl, later on Saturday, Northern Illinois University Huskies defeated Arkansas State today at Camellia Bowl, 21-19 and 30 ending of the game. As the Huskies win their first bowl game since 2012. NCAA basketball men, UCLA hosts Maryland, and the total went past as the Bruins 68-60. The Pirates have seen all. Done, you got Huskies 25-60 last night. And Villanova gets by the Great Blue Jays 68-66 in last night basketball games. Women's the upset of the year so far. The Southern Jaguars and the Bank to beat the Oklahoma Sooners 79-70 with strong, outstanding defense. And about today, later at 1:30 Pacific time, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, the early game and the night game, and Buffalo at the LA Chargers. At 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock in the east. Trevor Lawrence is cleared to play this Sunday. And there are a plethora of games, NFL games this weekend because the college game is over. Now you will get Saturday games. And this week we have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games this weekend. NBA last night, the Sixers keep it moving. Harris, Embiid, and Massey defeat Toronto 121-111. Embiid gets another 30-game stint. As the Sixers move on, trying to chase down the Boston Celtics. Denver Nuggets with Jokic and Murray get by Nets. 122-117. Zega and Smith guide the Rockets over the Mavs. 122-96. Tyler Hero helps Miami beat up Atlanta 122-113. The Golden State Warriors in the last game of the night beat the Washington Wizards in return of Jordan Poole to Jay Center, and this is the style of the West Coast compared to the East Coast. When Jordan Poole was introduced, he got a standing ovation. That would happen on the East Coast. The Warriors took charges game early and often until the middle of the fourth quarter. Well, the Wizards came back, but it was still a little too late as the Warriors win their seventh home victory, getting back to 500. Stephon Curry with the 13th game of the year with 30 points. Without Curry, the Warriors would be a mess. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. Jonathan Kuminga has to come up big on the board to help Looney and Moody. And the season goes into the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Warriors will play back-to-back games. They play tonight, have a day off tomorrow, and play on Monday. NHL, Detroit Rockets tied the game for the Wings. As they defeat Philadelphia overtime, 6-5. Edmonton comes to the Garden and Olaf deserts the Rangers 5-4 as Edmonton wins overtime in New York. The Blue Shirts lose a chance to get the Boston Bruins because Winnipeg Jets defeat the Bruins 5-1, and it wasn't even close. And the Bruins took a night off. Montreal 5-1, the Blackhawks 5-2. Chicago is struggling. WTA, they start a new season in Australia, New Year's Eve. In Brisbane, Australia, and Auckland, New Zealand. PGA, person and the guy say the four stroke lead in the Q school tournament, which ends actually ends tomorrow. LPGA, they take 2 weeks off before the Hilton Grand Vacation Tournament in Orlando, Florida, January 18th. January 18th, the LPGA Tour will start. Take a break, come back with the news of the week. News of the week for last weekend in December. we go up a century, ain't not gonna change. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City quarterback, and Adam with Tony dropping passes. He wants to change. I'm gonna get it. Draymond Green will be out at least 3 weeks with a 12-game suspension. And because of the history of Draymond Green, and like I said last week, every team has Draymond Green. They won't admit it, but it's true. It always has been true. Breaking news, Stephen Curry last week, now this 3-point stream of 268 games, a new NBA record, and every time Curry hits a 3-point, it's another record. I don't think anybody will ever go close to this record. Philadelphia Eagles lose the NFC East by placing Patricia on the as the head of the defensive coordinator position. You'll be replacing John Deans because the Eagles have not been scoring. I mean, not having as many big plays on defense that you think Matt Patricia is going to change that. I don't trust Matt Patricia because he comes from a Belichick tree. And we all know how Belichick tree has come out these days. The Eagles, are in serious trouble with Patricia as the defensive coordinator. Tuesday, the Indianapolis coaches met wide receiver McKenzie and quarterback Brown for conduct not becoming on the team. And it seems like the Indianapolis coaches are blowing up inside, not blowing up outside. The team might need a new coach again. Nebraska and the San Jose Day get quarterback Dylan Brown from Georgia. Breaking news, Aaron Rodgers will play for the Jets until 2024, as breaking news. Houston Rockets are fined $60 million for gabbing. No, $60,000 for gabbing at referees, again they argued. And John Morant comes back to Memphis Grizzlies, and he comes back this time. On Thursday, the Rams get back into the race, and they hold out to New Orleans Saints 30-22. Florida State is moving from the ACC to the SEC, and this is getting more ridiculous as the day goes by. As the ACC loses another team, and the SEC goes from 12 to 14 to 16 teams in the division. The cash cow of Brian James will take a few days off with ankle issues and fatigue after the Deion Sanders strikes again as he gets worse at to be the defensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. Believe me, the Buffaloes will be a better defensive team this year with Warren Sapp as defensive coordinator head. Major League Baseball will shorten the pitching clock from 20 seconds to 18, and it should be, it should be 15, but they're getting there in slow steps. The Dodgers do it again, as they get Japanese pitcher Yamamoto, rebuilding their business staff, and somebody's going to be the Dodgers in 2024, but Yamamoto, 2025, because Yamamoto and Ohtani, 1-2 in their rotation, it's going to be a bear with them. When they come, the Detroit Pistons are 1 win away from the city record as they lose the 25th game to the Utah Jazz, 119-111, and fans are beginning to yell at owner Tom Gore to sell the team. On Friday, Jamal Bowles named Female Athlete of the Year, and FSU, Florida State University, filed a legal complaint against the ACC and the conference. Trust me, before this is over, FSU will be in the SEC sooner or later. Take a break. Take a break. As we end the year.
Emmanuel. peace and the sun of righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, rising with healing in his wings.
University of Mississippi,
Dean Madison at Houston. On the women's side, the sixth-ranked Lady Trojans defeated Cal State Fullerton 93-44. Lady Bruins get by Ohio State 73-71. And Miss Osborne leads the Lady Bruins over Lady Buckeyes. In other news, BDA accused of this Monday for the weather. The Lakers win the PGA Championship over the Woods. Charlie Woods became the star of the show. With that, Tiger Woods, they came in fifth place in the PNC Championship. And Charlie Woods looked like his dad. I guess earlier, LPGA, the new season started January 18th in Florida. And WTA, the Czech, the championship ended this week. We have the news of the week of last weekend, December. I take a break. Money, Money O'James. I want to take a minute here to talk about money and sports. This weekend at Final Four, Michigan, Alabama, Texas, in the Final Four, and one ticket, on down in the lower box, cost $1.7 million. Now, this is, I call it ridiculous. You and that same game, up in the third deck, is $250. One ticket, one game, one day, $250. You know how much $250 you can buy how much food? How much gas in your car? And you're spending it on a football game. This is the epitome of the sports industry today. When you sit there and get $1.7 million a game, and as Alabama, the Alabama Michigan game. I don't know about you, but I think that's way out of hand. It's just ridiculous. You know, and then you exclude one of the major conferences. And they've been lucky because the Pac-12 has been out a couple of times. And nobody argued. This year, there was an argument because Florida State was undefeated. And they're regulated to a lesser bowl, right? Texas will play Washington. And Alabama will play Michigan. And those are the two games everybody's going to pay attention to. But you got 40 bowl games in the next 2 weeks. Let me do it again. There are 40 bowl games in the next 2 weeks. And some teams don't deserve to be there. Take a break.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. The fireside is blazing bright. Whoa, we're caroling through the night. Whoa, this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer.
Giants play the Eagles this week and the last week of the season. The Cowboys play the Washington Football Club and the Washington Football Club. Seriously, they had to change their ways. Because right now, they cannot win with the team they have, man. They cannot win. Let me get the Dallas schedule up here for the next 2 weeks. The Dallas Cowboys will play at the end of the year. Miami, Detroit, and Washington. They're not going to win against Miami. I'll tell you right now, because they're on the road. They'll probably beat Detroit because they're playing at home. And they end up with the Washington Football Club. It depends on what position the Cowboys are in. Very, very wide the football club. The Eagles play the Giants twice. And they should beat them both times. Like I said before, I don't know who made the schedule up, but that's really planning toward the Eagles. They end the year with the Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Giants again at the Meadowlands on January 7th. Who made the schedule up? Because that's the game they're going to win. And the Cowboys are not going to win their three games. Therefore, the Eagles win the Eastern Conference. Despite the fall. And the Giants upset the Eagles and they have their changes. I don't think they're having. We will see. And those guys that we will see. All right, take a break. Come back. And we're going to wrap this little puppy up. gone too soon. Okay, we got Gremlins again.
Yep, I hear you.
We got Foolish Guard Radio again. And I'm glad you got in. The Detroit Pistons are on the verge of breaking the NBA record.
I'm sure they're glad of that.
And that's like the crowd was like, so deep.
Didn't see this one coming like this. They had sort of, you felt like last year with the young talent and everything, and bringing in Monty Williams, that, you know, you would think that they would sort of, you know, take it to another level. But I mean, the bottom has dropped out would be an understatement. I mean, like you said, you know, the, what is it, the 72-73 Sixers are like saying, hey, we may be off the hook in a couple of months.
Yeah, well, a couple of days, because it's 25 already.
The thing is, full disclosure, I think I've seen them maybe like once this year. And, I mean, again, it's a whole bunch of things. You know, they've had their blowouts, they've had their close losses or what have you. But, this, you know, on the surface, no one saw this. Again, especially, you know, Monty Williams left, you know, a pretty decent team in Phoenix to come here. And I have to admit, when I saw that Detroit hired him, I was like, oh, this is a good hire. You know, young guys that are still trying to find themselves, and a good veteran coach, former player. You know, we saw what he did in Phoenix. You know, we got to the final. I mean, even what he did with New Orleans a few years back when they still had Chris Paul and other folks. But no one saw this coming.
His job may be in jeopardy too, because the players are not producing for him.
Well, it's and because of the expectations, you know. I mean, I don't even know where to begin to say, like, you know, where the problems are. Because, I mean, now look, they weren't a great, great team, but they weren't, what is it, 2-26 now, I guess? 2-27?
Yeah.
No one saw this coming at all. We figured there'd be some growing pains, you know, with a new coach and everything. But this is like historic. I mean, this is like historically bad. And even for the NBA, this is huge, because we haven't.
Well, the NBA got a problem because they have two teams. One team is okay. But when you have two teams like this, you got a problem. The San Antonio Spurs are right behind them. But you can't have two teams like this. You can't do it.
I can't remember a situation where you had two teams who were somewhat up and coming to literally hit rock bottom like this. And now with the Spurs, I guess, because, you know, we know they were in the transition, but
right.
You know, thank you. I've been calling him Wambi because I can't, you know, it's going to take me another 3-4 years to say his name correctly, I suppose. But, I mean, it was somewhat expected again. But, see, again, we thought that there'd be growing pains. But, again, this is like you said, this has never happened. Not that I can remember in the NBA.
Trust me. Why did it go? Go to the last 3 or 4 games. They're in trouble. I would tell you why they're in trouble.
Well, I don't, but I don't think it's like historically. I mean, it's look.
It won't be the champion was.
Oh no.
This is the reason why I say this. You have a head coach who refuses to play the rookies. And each time the rookies are playing together, they brought the team back for the dance. And the coach takes them out of the game and puts the veterans in. And the veterans don't do anything. See, I can understand it once. Maybe I can understand it twice. But you do it 3 times, like, wait, what's going on here?
So you don't... You don't think that he's allowing them to grow?
I think he's stifling them, and you can't stifle kids. You can't stifle kids. I think it's what he's doing.
Do you think it's the sort of thing where
you're 25 points down? You're 25 points down. You put the kids in. They get you a 5-point lead, and you go right back to Curry, Thompson, and Green. Like, what are you doing?
And now, is it a Phil Jackson sort of thing where he's just, you know, he's used to just doing it with the veterans and literally refuses to? I have to admit, I haven't. Full disclosure, I really have not watched a lot of the Warriors this year. Again, you knew that they would be in transition, and also to go along with the Green suspension, that's probably added even more. But you would think that in that instance,
right,
he would play them more. But it seemed. But again, I guess what you're saying now, I know also Klay Thompson is having an awful season from what I can see. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, the thing with them was when they won that last title, it wasn't like they were on their last leg, so to speak, but you could see, well, the way that the roster transitioned from the last championship to the next season, you know, when they let Peyton go, when they let a few other guys go, it's almost like and see, especially somebody like Iguodala, because yes, his skills may, you know, his skills that he had, you know, just recently, that, you know, he's not the Andre, he's not the AI from back in the day, of course. There's something to be said about his leadership. And again, this is not to take anything away from the other veterans, but
right,
when you've got sort of a transitional type thing,
I want to see what your take is about this. Last year, the beginning of the year, Draymond Green runs down Jordan Poole, right?
Yeah, in the practice, yeah.
Okay, now during the season, I said this a thousand times. During the season, that season, the Warriors won home games and lost all the road games.
Mm-hmm.
They won a 12-game losing streak on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I told people this a thousand times. When you're a at home, you go to your own day, you go to your own house, you go to your own store, you go wherever. On the road, you're in the hotel all together. If there is any conflict anywhere, it comes out on the road. Last year,
Weren't they dealing with injuries last year too?
Yeah, but everywhere I've gone, if there's any conflict anywhere, it'll show up on the road. The Lakers did. Lakers did a couple years ago. Same thing with Lakers. Yeah, probably. On the road, it's a win. And I
can tell
you
this. Well, let's be...
Your true identity, it will come out. Your true identity will come out. So
oh, yeah.
At the end
of
the year, last year, somebody had to go. It had to be either green or pool. One of the two had to go.
And they let pool go.
Right. I think I'm a mistake.
Well,
because I'm gonna tell you, pool is your future. Great, great, has only 2 or 3 more years left. That's it.
If that, then you'll consider, and see the thing with Draymond. You know, because he was sort of a one-dimensional guy. I mean, he did score some points, but let's be honest. He was basically a Dennis Rodman that could score, that could score a little bit more than Rodman, but that's not saying much.
Look, I love Draymond because of the way he played defense. I love the guy because he played defense. I'm a defensive guy. I get sick and tired. This is pissing me off. I get sick and tired of the media figuring out their identity. Yes, he does stupid stuff. Okay, everybody does stupid stuff. But stop it. Just stop it.
But be fair. He's brought a lot of this on himself, too.
Yeah.
You can't deny
every
that.
Every team has one.
But I'm just saying, he even more so with him. I mean, it's one thing going after opponents, but like you said, when you go after your teammates as well, that's something that should have been nipped in the bud. You know, he's been able to get away with a lot of stuff, and everybody has covered for him, And to steal an old Malcolm line, I think with the last two incidents, this was chickens coming home to roost.
The last two.
Not just there because. The thing is, he's gotten away with so many things, and when you are lucky, this is something that the league and the team should have nipped in the bud. I mean, me personally...
But
Steve Kerr and management. I can't just put it all on Steve Kerr because, here's the thing, like you said... They basically, to me, when they let Poole go, it said a lot about their organization than anything else, to see cause and effect. If this had been nipped in the bud they basically, scapegoated Poole for getting hit.
Right.
And I think, directly and indirectly, it's led to where they were, because I mean, I get the whole thing about the home and the road, but the there's no sport where the Holman Road mix is more pronounced than in the NBA. Probably even more so in the NBA than all the four major sports, because of the nature of the game. But that being said, it's crazy, and it may be too late or it may be whatever. But winning that last title may have almost given them sort of a false hope, in a sense, because they figured, okay, we've won with these guys before. We'll hang with them one more year. And I understand that, but in a lot of instances, and especially in the Western Conference, where you have
everybody
a bunch of young teams. That Grizzlies series was a turning point to a certain extent.
The Grizzlies won that series.
Well, I think it's safe to say that they definitely outplayed the Warriors. But see, again, we see it a lot in the NBA when the young, look how long, Detroit had, let's face it, the Pistons had to get by the Celtics.
Boston.
The Bulls had to get by the Pistons. The Knicks had to get by the Bulls, and so on and so on. That's never changed. Whether it be the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. Now, the thing with the war, again, them winning the title may have given them a false sense of security, thinking that they could maybe keep it, get the band back. I mean, look, they were able to get the band back together one more time and get that last title, which,
I like the kids. I like Moody. I like Kamara. They're doing good. The money is, why are you messing with it? Because they're going good.
I think that's a management thing where management and Kerr, they may not trust them, unfortunately. But see, at some point you gotta let them. It's sort of like the mother hen letting the kids go. At some point you gotta let them. You gotta let them go fly, in a sense. And if you intend on, especially when you realize that you've got up and coming teams like Minnesota, like Memphis, who, now that Morant is back, I think they'll find their way. There's still going to be a little bit of a transition, but look. The fact that Morant is back, and again, it's only a few games. You don't want to oversell it. But let's face it: when he's on, he's clearly one of the five best players in the league, and he can he can carry them. And I think with them between the reluctance to play the young guys, and also management. They're basically making the wrong decision in the pool green thing. I think it's just the chickens coming home to roost, in a sense. And it's for this win. It'll be a stretch for them to make the playoffs because the West is so top heavy, and plus you got the reigning champs there as well. So
With Randall and DiVincenzo, and I'm beginning to like this team.
It's a decent little mix. The only thing that I'm a little fearful of, and that's the old school to me, is they don't really have a quote unquote grizzled veteran. I really feel like you need a guy that's you need sort of a Yoda type, especially in the NBA because the season's so long. I mean, Randall to a certain extent is the Yoda for that team because, you know, there is no Rose, you know, there is no Derrick Rose to fall back on now. Maybe somewhat of what's my man's name? I can't think of his name. But they don't really have that, you know, old head there. Now, look, I love the fact that there's still a relatively good mix of youth and some veterans. I hated to see them let Obi Toppin go. I really did. It may not happen now, but that I get the feeling they're going to rue the day that they let him go. But again,
conversation. How good is Barrett?
You know, I go back and forth because, you know, there's some nights where he looks like, you know, I mean, he's given you glimpses at times. See, to me, as important as Randall is, as important as Brunson is, as important as Quigley is, I think really this team will go as far as Barrett will because, Barrett was looked upon to be not a savior, but he was looked upon as a building. He was part of a building block. Remember, in a sense, it came down to him or Ja Morant, and they went with Barrett.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I would have loved to have seen Barrett in New York.
Man.
Although, and again, you know, not to cast aspersions on the kid or whatever, but because of some of the off the court stuff, maybe him in New York might have not been a very good idea.
He would have been dead if he were in New York.
To say the least, because thankfully, you know, now he was doing that in Memphis. I could imagine how that would have played
in
NYC. That being said, again, we've gotten glimpses. We've gotten little whatevers.
Yeah.
But we haven't had that long, sustained whatever. Look, Brunson, Randall, and the other supporting cast, they've shown out, and it's an interesting team. The thing is, with the East, you know, you know who you look. End of the day, can they beat the big three in a seven game series? That's the thing. You can't forget about it. And even some of the other like teams that are in the same boat as them, sort of like an Atlanta and an Orlando that keeps going back and forth. See, they're still having an identity crisis. Those two. And see, the other team I think that people are sleeping on is probably Indiana.
Because they're terrible.
Well, here's the thing. for lack of a better word, they're boring because they don't really have – they don't have that established – you know, every team, even the bad teams, have that one established guy. There really is – I mean, maybe about – you know, what's the guard who tore up his knee a few years ago and is now coming back? They don't really have – they don't really have that signature guy. They're in a sense, they're very good, like fun. Let me put it this way. Sadly, their most compelling player may be their coach, and that's Rick Carlisle. And Rick Carlisle is a decent coach. I don't think he's an elite coach, but he's been a very better than average coach most of his career. That being said, they're about as, you know, they're in a league where there's always at least one or two. Victor Adebayo is the guy that I'm thinking of, the guard. That's the thing. See, they're about as vanilla as you can get in a league where everybody's, even the bad teams, have sort of an established, I mean, even as bad as Detroit and San Antonio are, you know that they have a nucleus with, you know, with Cunningham and a few others in Detroit and, of course, Wamby in San Antonio. But with Indiana, they're about as vanilla as you can get in the sense of there is, you know, there in a sense they're a team of role players. They're a team of role players.
And I never heard these guys like Bowser.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
They're literally them in Orlando are a team of role players. They don't really have that. I got to go. Oh, I'm watching Indiana because I want to see so and so. They don't really have that. Even with San Antonio, you want to see Wamby because, you know, he was the first overall pick, and he looks like that they're going to, you know, that he's going to be part of the building block. As bad as Detroit is, surprisingly, they have building blocks there. I mean, they may have to break them up, unfortunately, because of the way this thing plays out, but they have them there. The thing about Indiana and Orlando is that they're about as vanilla as you can get, but they don't, you know, they don't get blown out for the most part. They play great defense. Now they're sort of like, you know, the old Knicks in the sense of they'll always be in games.
They'll grind you out.
Exactly. But the thing is, especially with the NBA, which is a year of grinding out, by the time they get to the playoffs, they're literally grinded to a nub, and that's why they usually don't get by the first round because they've spent all year grinding. And look, the regular season is somewhat supposed to be the easy part. The grind is supposed to be the playoffs. But when the grind is the regular season, by the time you get to the playoffs, you're already. I mean, you're literally all grinded out in a sense.
The Sixers with Embiid, this guy is gonna break records. If he can even play the last 2 weeks,
he's gonna break records.
Nobody gonna stop him.
Well, he's a throwback. He's an old school center.
Yes,
he'll occasionally, you know, wander out there in the 3-point line, but for the most part, he's in the tradition of, I mean, might be, you know, just, and again, I'm using this just as to talk about him being, I'm not saying he's the next Moses, but in the tradition of Moses and Wilt and all of that, he is a old school center. You know, the centers we, you know, this was during the era where if you, you know, he's a throwback in the sense of in a tradition of like say like the Nate Thurmans and the Bob Laniers and the Akeem Olajuwons And what, you know, this guy is old school, traditional, 20 points, 15 rebounds every night. Now, the best thing, you know, the best thing that happened to them was getting rid of the beard.
Yeah.
But now, they, you know, now. But see, the thing, the thing is with him is wherever he's, look, and I go back and forth with his style of play, I you know, but in a situation, in many ways, what was going on there, it was like the old Kobe Shaq days where, you know, Harden thought the ball should go through him and Embiid thought the ball should go through him, and that's why there were a conflict. Now, to their credit, of course, the Lakers were able to win championships because of it, but unfortunately, with the Sixers, it's probably hindered. And needless to say, it's hindered them for just even making a bona fide run. Because, you know, when you know, remember when Toronto beat them in 7 games on their way to the title? Doesn't it seem like that was like 1,000 years ago?
Yeah, it seems like it.
But what got me for Harden was about 10 years ago when Oprah, whatever it was, they went in the game seven, they went 0 for 24 for three, the Rockets. I mean, it was, literally live by the three, die by the three, and they died. They literally died 1,000 deaths in 1,000 paper cuts with that. And
that,
Houston
game,
and
that
and,
game, that game turned me against Harden. I never heard of it ever since.
Well, it's
of
one
the
of
way,
those
because of the way he acted. I was not happy with the way he acted at that game.
The thing with him is that, again, to a lesser extent, he's a one-dimensional guy. He's a one-dimensional guy. If you and see, as much as bad press or how many people, either put it this way, the NBA, there is no middle ground. You either love the NBA or you Yosemite Sam it and just can't stand it. And guys like Harden are sort of the poster boy for that, because, you know, between his bad Marcus Haynes impersonations and his, you know, inconsistent shooting. I mean, when he's on fire, he's great, but a lot of times he's not. And historically, he's shot himself out of more games than he's won games. I think that's being fair. That he's probably shot them out of. He has probably shot himself out of more games over the years.
There are two players in the NBA. Wherever they've gone, they messed the team up. Wherever they've gone. And you may agree or disagree with it, but the two players are Harden and Chris Paul. However, Chris Paul is gone, we have not won jack. And when the Warriors got Chris Paul, so here we go.
But to be, you know, I and you're right about Paul, but to be fair, the Warriors were already on the downward trend by the time Paul got into town. The thing with Chris Paul is it's Chris Paul is sort of like the poster child for, you get a 3 to 5 year window to win a title, and if you don't win it in that 3 to 5 years, go. it never, you never get the chance. You know, he has a great run. You never get the chance because again, and especially being a Western Conference guy. I mean, think of, you know, and it's funny because, you know, when Chris Paul was in his heyday early in his career, who was his coach? Monty Williams.
Yeah.
When New Orleans, because he was there those early years in New Orleans when they had that, when they had the crew there, and they were making the runs. Then he goes to, now a lot of people always talk about, you know, how things might have changed if he had gone to the Lakers instead of the Clippers, and yeah, that's definitely one of those, you know. It's definitely something where you have to, you know, think about it. But that being said, he had his moments with the Clippers. He had his moments with the Rockets. He had his moments with the Suns. And he didn't get to the final, you know, and he sort of bucked the odds by getting to the final at an older age. And, you know, they came up, you know, and again, they just came up short, you know, because, you know, Giannis and his crew. But it's, you know, again, with the way the NBA is, you have to take advantage of that 3 to 5 year window either. And if you don't, you either become good enough to be the Utah Jazz or bad enough to be the old Clippers or as we're seeing now with the Pistons. And the Spurs.
Well, I think what the Warriors are gonna have to do now is trade one of the big three because this is over. I mean, the door is closed.
What are you gonna, you know, you're not gonna be able to get much for it, you know. I mean, unless the big, this way, the only real tradable guy is Curry. And there would be rioting in the streets of Oakland if Curry got traded. Now, to me, and I don't know how you may feel. To me, the tougher guy to trade is Thompson instead of Draymond.
Nobody wants Draymond.
Well, I'll just say this. When Brooks got cut by Memphis, we all said, oh, he's out of the league. He's back, you know. I'll just put it this way. The only reason why I say Thompson is going to be tougher to deal with is because of that contract.
Yeah.
See, Green got a renegotiated
contract.
Well, but see, let's put it this way, though. He's not going to get that same kind of money.
No.
The only reason why I say Green has a better chance, well, see, a lot of it is going to have to deal with Greg Draymond. Is Draymond willing to, number one, humble himself, number two, and also he's got to realize that, you know, he's put himself in this short leash because of his antics.
Right.
And if he goes somewhere, he's probably gonna have to play for the I don't think he has to play for the league minimum, but he ain't gonna make that kind of money that he made at Golden State if he goes somewhere else.
No. I want to last step of football. The Niners are playing the Ravens. I think this might be a Super Bowl matchup.
It's a possibility. Well,
because of the smack talking, I've been smack talking all week. Baltimore is mad, and they're mad because they're underdogs. They're mad because of disrespect for everyone, and, you know.
Is it in Baltimore or is it in Frisco?
It's in Santa Clara. Yeah, San Francisco.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, if it was in Baltimore, I would like their chances a little bit more. I mean, I could see them going in there, but you know, Niners are going to be tough to beat at home, and they're relatively healthy again now, so it should make for a good game. It should I definitely would like to see Baltimore go in there and beat them. They've already beaten one of the best teams in the NFC this year. They hogtied the Lions earlier this year, and you could make the argument. I mean, I guess record-wise now they do have the best record in the AFC. Although the AFC is such a minefield right now with the way things are. I would love to see them go into San Fran, because I think people are shutting off the Eagles a bit. I mean, I guess the three losses have been telling. But that being said, I still think you're going to have to deal with them. It's funny because I'm hearing a lot of, the little bit of NFL that I have been watching and seeing when people talk about, hey, I wouldn't want to play the Rams this time of year. Hey, I wouldn't want to play the Bills this time of the year.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Really? Well, it's good, again, this way. I always fall back on Mike Tyson. Everybody got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Punched in the mouth. The Cowboys, I'm going to tell you something. The Cowboys are a good team, but if you run up the middle on them, they fall apart like paper towels.
And
those guys cannot stop the run.
Yeah, and remember, that's supposed to be their strength. I mean, now they get a lot of hype because of Parsons, and rightfully so. I think
he's very good.
What's that again?
Parsons is very good.
He can't make every tackle. You can't make every tackle. It's a collective thing. When they lost their defensive back earlier this year, a lot of people sort of like, they'll be okay. But again, it's so easy to poo-poo things like that when teams are going well.
I had to step up and step in and really do. I've always been neutral because I see the really bad games for them. My thing is, you cannot throw an interception. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's not so much the throw, it's the timing. All of his interceptions are always like devastating, like drive killing, momentum killing. Well, they're drive killing, momentum killing interceptions. Now look, no one wants to see their quarterback throw a bunch of interceptions, but especially at the most crucial point of the game. That's the thing that hurts Dak. Dak is still so many.
I say it a thousand times. I'll say it again. The Dallas Cowboys will not win the Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones is over.
It's going to be tough. And see, what's also the other thing that I think people are sort of they basically handed the running back keys over to Pollard. And let's face it, Pollard's taken a step back this year. He's been like okay, but when they let go Zeke, they basically said, okay, you're the guy. And as inconsistent as Dak has been, Pollard has been inconsistent as well.
I want to go down the road a little bit, down in the Meadowlands. What is going on with the circus in the Meadowlands between the Jets and the Giants? What
business as usual. Business as usual.
Well, look, we've seen this story a bunch of times. Remember, the coach. There was a they basically lost a game this year because the coach didn't want him to throw any passes.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you want to make him out to be, you know, the greatest thing, you know, since Peter Bread. Look, nothing but New York hype. He's not, you know, the kid, you know, to quote an old Giants coach, he is what he is.
Aaron Rodgers ruined the New York Jets.
Gary, no. I can't. As much of a I can't put that on Rodgers. I can't.
He brought all these old glories from Green Bay with him. What are you doing?
But again, I can't put that on Rodgers. I can't. Look, I understand the implication, but see, he hasn't been a factor. I mean, he played three plays all year. You have to have some accountability for them not having to look.
I get that.
Even with that, the fact that they didn't have a legit backup for him, that's more telling than anything else. To me, that's the thing. Look, you're bringing in a guy. You know, you're bringing in a guy. No, he hasn't had an injury. He hasn't had a history of injuries. But that being said, this is an older player, and put it this way: there's a reason why you went after him instead of playing it out with Wilson.
Yeah.
All the more reason why, in a sense, you should have brought in a backup. Now I get it with bringing in the ex Green Bay guys and everything. That, you know, I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but I get it. But the biggest thing, but see, this was basically they put all their eggs in one basket, and when the basket broke, they didn't have a plan B. You have to have a plan B. They did it. When they basically said that Zach Wilson was their plan B, then they slit their own throat because, if he wasn't plan A, why the hell would you make him plan B?
Before I get cut off, because these guys had the crazy day. What you got for the weekend?
I'm actually off till the 2nd, so this is going to be my Christmas / sleeping vacation.
All right.
So,
Have a good holiday with your family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
same to you.
It's even.
I have to admit.
Sure.
A little disappointed that the Mets couldn't get the other Japanese pitcher. But you know what? Blake Snell wouldn't be a bad consolation prize.
What's that?
I'm saying Blake Snell would not be a bad consolation prize. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, see, look.
Now remember, Otani's not picking up a Bobby's not going to be pitching this year.
I know. It'll be 2 years. But what I'm saying, when he gets in rotation, it's going to be the most.
As good as this guy claims to be, I've seen him pitch. The guy can definitely pitch, but we gotta see the trend, how he's going to
transition. Is he
going to be a singer, or is he going to be the guy that the Yankees had, Irabu?
Yeah, Irabu. Now, on the surface, guys, look.
The scary thing is they're getting them both in their prime. So in that instance is what. But see, don't disrespect. What about that lineup? I love Mookie Betts. I still think Freeman has maybe another year or so, but after that, I'm not quite sold on that everyday lineup quite yet.
Yeah,
I know they won 100 games.
I know they want to do old now.
I don't think Mookie's the problem. I think Mookie is still, but it's the supporting cast. I'm not quite sold on the supporting cast. Now Mookie's fine. Freeman, I think you still can get another year or so out of him because he's been consistent. I mean, if anyone's leaning more toward a decline, possibly Freeman because he's a little bit older. But yeah, Mookie's fine, and the fact that they're putting him back at his natural position, I think also bodes well as well. But the rest of, let's put it this way. They're definitely, barring something really stupid, they're going to put up another, they're going to win the division again. But see, with the Dodgers now, it's not about winning the West. It's about, having another parade.
Right.
And does this guarantee them another parade? Now, I'm not trying to come off as a jilted Met fan in this. I'm looking at this because if this guy is what he is, and of course Bueller comes back the way we think he should,
fine.
They'll be fine. Like I said, if nothing else, at the very least, they've clinched the division again. But
they're grumbling the beer in San Francisco because of the way the Giants did not go after any free agencies.
Well, they were gun shy
They were gun shy.
Look, they were gun shy. They went after Judge. He said no. They went, Correa. He said no. And he said no as well. So it's the sort of thing where, they probably are gonna have to build from within. And the thing is, they don't have that sort of nucleus anymore. Buster Posey's gone. Crawford's gone now. Now, Yastrzemski's a decent player, but he can't do it all by himself.
Well, Buster Posey has come back as executive.
That's wonderful. But is that going to translate on the field?
I get
what you're saying. Let's put it this way. I'm not saying their window is closed, but
I think it's already closed.
Well, put it this way. The only thing that's keeping them from being the worst team in that division is the Rockies.
Yeah, they stink.
Man, no, they're awful. There's some AAA teams I think could could beat the Rockies. And see, we got to remember, you know what? And see, look at now. Remember, all that we've talked about, we haven't even talked about the defending league champions, the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, they're not.
So,
all right, man.
I mean, right now,
thank you for calling, man. This is great.
Oh no.
America was a happy new year, bro.
You too, man.
No show.
Oh, okay. Cool. You and Johnny Carson, you guys take as many days off as you want.
Yes, indeed.
All right,
okay,
man.
Thank
you,
Tony.
Okay.
All right,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the last show for 2023. Hope you enjoyed the show. Let's see if I can get the music on or not. We're going to find out in a minute.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy
to wish you and your family love, peace, and happiness, and God's blessings, and a very special Merry Christmas from the OJ.
Woo!